All right, it's nice to see you here this evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and then we'll look at a passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll take these two passages as our text tonight. We're continuing this series on issues of life answered from the Bible. And it's so good to see what God's Word says about these things that so often we come upon in our conversation, and certainly particularly this time in the life of our nation. We come upon this conversation a lot, and I'm glad that we have the opportunity to talk about it from God's Word this week. This week's subject is, what does God's Word say about going to war? What does God's Word say about going to war? Let's begin by reading just a couple of passages of Scripture, and obviously when we're dealing with a subject as important as the subject of war, we need to make sure that we're not looking to men for the answers to these things, we're looking to God. And we can look to God's Word and find answers here. And I want to see these answers clearly in God's Word tonight. Look at Romans 13. I want you to read with me the first four verses. You follow along as I read. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now look with me also in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to notice with me verses 13 and 14 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Now, when we read these two verses in Scripture, I think these are two very important passages. In fact, if these are the only two passages that we had to deal with, I think we have enough Scripture here to give us an indication of what God's Word says, even about this matter of war. But these are really two passages about submission. If you want to note in your Bible back in Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, you might want to underline the expression found in verse 4 right there in the heart of the verse. The Bible says, for he beareth not the sword in vain. We're reading here about our government leaders and our government. And again and again and again, the Bible says that these who are set over us in authority in government are the ministers of God. In fact, he even says that the ministers of God, they're ordained of God. That's the word of Scripture. In fact, he says this is for our good. And they're a terror to the evil works, but not to the good. God's given government the right and the authority. He actually says he beareth not the sword in vain. God's given the government the sword to bear for the purpose of executing judgment against evil doing. And this is what we're going to emphasize, this submission to the authority that God has put in our own lives. And really, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to a matter of submission. Now, when we talk about war, we understand that we live in a world, literally, that is full of war. It seemingly does not touch our country a lot. It touches it more than we realize, particularly this very hour. We understand how it touches our country. It's such a large military deployment that's taking place at this time, and other things that maybe are to come, we do not know. But there are some people who live in nations around the world who deal with war day in and day out. In fact, they'll live and die, and they'll deal with war every single day of their lives. In fact, there are people in many, many different countries who live with that. Historians tell us that in the last 5,000 years of human history, there have been 14,000 wars in 5,000 years. One stat given there in your reading material is that the European nations of the world have entered into, in the past records of history, have entered into 8,000 peace treaties. Every one of those peace treaties was meant to be permanent. Every one of them. But 8,000 of them have come and gone. Every one meant to be permanent. The average lasting length of any of those treaties is about 2 years. You see, man just can't stay out of war. Why? Because man's full of sin. And as long as there's sin, there will be war. As long as there's sin, there will be war. When we talk about war, we understand we're talking about a horrible thing. We're talking about people dying. We're talking about lives being taken. And every one of those lives is someone's husband or wife or someone's father or mother, someone's son or daughter. Every one of those lives is precious. Hundreds of thousands of just Americans, and we're just thinking about wars that have taken place with our country, hundreds and hundreds of thousands have died. In World War II alone, over 400,000 Americans died in that war. So war is not something that we like. War is not something that we just enjoy. War is not something that we say, well, we just can't wait for it. That's not our attitude at all. In fact, that's not the attitude of God's Word. But war is something that nations are engaged in. And the point is, we need to know as believers, what are we supposed to say about this matter? Well, we can't try to twist the Bible to fit our opinions. We can't say, sometimes people say, well, how do you feel about war? How do you feel about our nation being in war? It's not necessarily how I feel about it. It's what does God's Word say about it, and how am I going to respond as a Christian according to God's Word? That's what we're going to emphasize. Now, look at these things carefully. First of all, we have to understand this, that government is ordained by God. Back in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, that's very early on in Scripture, God ordained human government. In fact, three institutions, the home, government, and the church, three institutions ordained by God. In Genesis 9:6, the Bible says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." As the Lord executed judgment on the earth through the flood, and here come Noah and his sons, and of course his wife and their wives out, and they come back into the earth, God knew that because of the sinfulness of man, man had to be protected from man. And so God instituted human government, and he gave him this right to execute justice. In fact, in this sense, even he said that they have the right, the government has the right to take a man's life in certain situations if he sheds another man's blood. And so God instituted human government. He said man, because of his sinfulness, has to be protected from man. Now, we have to start right there as believers and understand something. We don't need to have an anarchist spirit. In fact, there are always going to be those who do have some kind of anarchist spirit, but we shouldn't have that as a believer. Well, we don't need any government. Well, that's not true. God ordained government. God knew that we needed government. And in order to have civilized behavior among human beings, we must have some kind of a civilized government. God knew that, and God instituted that. Now, when we talk about, well, God made government, what about the individuals? Well, if you look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, you're going to find, of course, Daniel talks a lot about nations and kings. But Daniel said, God removeth kings and setteth up kings. Daniel 2:21. So not only the government in general, but even individuals there. God's the one who sets people up. And God's the one who takes people down. He sets up the kings and he removes the kings. We like to think, well, we voted them in. Well, but God in his providence is in all this. And these who are our leaders in government are called the ministers of God. We often call the preacher, well, he's the minister of God. Well, just in the same terminology, God says these who are in authority over you in government, they are the ministers of God. And it just goes back to these two key texts. 1 Peter 2:13 tells us, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be kings or those that the king has set in charge, submit yourselves to those ordinances for the Lord's sake. It's a matter of submission. And what we ought to say as Christians is that we're not saying that we love to see people die. Certainly not. We're not saying we love to go out to war. Certainly nobody does. But on the other hand, we know that as believers, we're supposed to be subject and be in submission to the higher powers, to those that God has ordained to be over us. And you know, when we talk about going to war, Pastor emphasizes this in the reading material, and I think it's so important. We're not talking about individuals going out to war. We're talking about nations going to war. People say, well, I don't want to have a part in that. But the truth is, if our nation is engaged in it, then as a nation, we're going to war. Not everybody goes to the front lines. But we should say as believers, but we're going to support our nation. We're going to support our president. We're going to support the higher powers. We're going to submit to the higher powers because those things are ordained of God. It's a matter of submission. You know, when you think of that principle also about nations going to war, not individuals, it kind of solves a lot of the other moral issues in our minds. Some people say, well, I don't know about war because I don't want to go to war and murder somebody. Well, that's not true. You know, if we have an individual, you know, all murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. For instance, we have an individual that our country determines or our government determines they're going to be put to death for the crime that they committed. We refer to that as capital punishment. It's something God gave government a right to do in Genesis 9:6. But let's say we've got an individual and the government says he has to be put to death. Well, let's say that someone works in that particular department of law enforcement or whatever it might be, and someone has to be the one to flip the switch. Now, is that person who flipped the switch a murderer? The answer is no, because that person is doing what he or she has been called upon by their government, by their nation to do. They're just acting on behalf of their nation. Likewise, we've got boys out right now on the front lines serving. You say, are they murderers? They're not murderers. They've been trained to do what their country has called them to do. And our nation goes to war. Not individuals, but our nation goes. And when our nation goes, we need to say, as believers, we're going to submit to the higher powers. The second thing is this. Not only is government ordained, but God's word instructs us to submit. Romans 13:1 would be a good one to memorize, particularly in this day and time. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. We are to be obedience and in submission to those whom God has called his ministers. I think when people come up to me and say, well, what do you think? I need to say, what I've decided is that God's word says as a believer, I need to be in submission to the higher powers. And I want to be in submission to those who are leading and those whom God has called his ministers. The last thing I want to emphasize is this, that going to war is sometimes just the necessity of nations. Listen to what Jesus said, John 18:36. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. You know what he's saying? If it were a time to fight, then we would fight. But it's not a time to fight right now. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 22:35. He told his disciples, he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now, the very least you can make of this is self-defense. And certainly there are times as a nation that we must defend our freedoms. There are times as a nation or as a government that we would say we're living under the threat of something that we can't live under the threat of this threat to our freedom. We must go forward and defend our freedom. And certainly we can at least make of this self-defense. Jesus said there's a time to take a sword and now is the time to pick up a sword, guys. You see, there are just times when a nation, almost out of moral duty, is called upon to go to war. And we have to understand that as believers. At times, it is the necessity of a nation. Ezekiel 14:21 says that God can use the sword as a means of judgment. It could be that God is calling a nation out of necessity and he's actually working in the whole thing because he's seeking to judge evildoers in the midst of that war. That could be. Certainly, we're not God to try to choose ourselves to do something like that. But if that's what God is seeking to do, then you know God can use that sometimes. It's just a point that sometimes this is something that's necessary. You know, when we talk to people out in the world, we need to say, you know, this is sometimes necessary. As a believer, I want to support the higher powers. I want to submit to them. I want to submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, is what the Bible says. And I just want to be what I should be in my Christian life. You know what we should do? We should be at church every Sunday, right? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know what we should do? We should be in the house of God. We should keep our family right with God. We should keep ourselves right. All these things should make us run to the Lord. And we should at the same time be in submission to the authority that God's given over us. Let's take these things and really apply it. We can make a difference right here in our own city if just we would get this in our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. And I thank you for the teaching of thy word. Guide us now the remainder of this meeting. I pray in Jesus' name.